They were the best snails I've ever had, but I was in shock, not expecting that. And I think it gave me a deeper appreciation, really, for what's in a country.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Are you spending too much money on ads? Want to increase your average order value? Are you eyeing that big exit from your business? Or have you been wondering how you can increase your lifetime value, build a community, and basically make more money through customer loyalty and retention? Let us help. Huckleberry Consulting brings over a decade of experience in client and customer success from the world's biggest companies. Let your customers tell you what they want. Visit consulthuckleberry.com to claim your free audit and quit leaving money on the table. Once again, that's consulthuckleberry.com. See you there.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. So a lot of entrepreneurs love eating, and I think a lot of not just entrepreneurs, actually, I think we all love eating, and it's such a very almost holy activity. When I was younger, I always had this thought that, you know, even the warriors and gods and everyone stops to eat. And it is such a thing that brings people together. But today we are going to talk about how food, you know, helps deepen relationships and connects us to places and people. And of course, to our entrepreneurs out there, how this can also help with business. So my special guest today is the co-founder of Authentic Food Quest, a food and travel website where she helps travelers connect with cultures through food and immersive cooking vacations. Since 2015, she and her partner, Claire, have explored the cuisine of 45 countries and over 290 food cities. Her work has been featured in Lonely Planet, Business Insider, Huffington Post, and more. A co-author of three books, including a collaboration with Costa Brava Tourism, she blends storytelling with culinary exploration. When not discovering new flavors, she's an avid runner, having completed 11 marathons. Previously, she also held senior strategy roles in advertising. So my guest today is Rosemarie Kimani. How are you, Rose?
I am great. Thank you, Carla. It's wonderful to be here.
I'm super duper excited. By the way, to everyone listening, I met Rose through one of my masterminds, Dynamite Circle, and it's such a great community of growth-focused, location-independent entrepreneurs. And of course, one of the things I love there is meeting other amazing female entrepreneurs. And I really sought out / scammed Rose to come to my podcast because I just think she's overall an amazing person, and I'm really, really looking forward to having this conversation. So I'm going to start with this personal question. What's a meal that instantly takes you back to a specific place or moment in your life? And why is this super memorable to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I love that question because food really connects us to emotions and it connects us to people and places, the flavors, the smells. I remember when we started, myself and my partner, Authentic Food Quest, that was in 2015, and we had just left our corporate careers, and the first country we went to was Argentina, and we had never been there before. It was a brand new experience, And the goal with Authentic Food Quest is to highlight the local specialties so that when people travel to a destination, they know what to eat and they go beyond the most famous dishes. So, for example, in Argentina, it's Malbec wines or good steak. Yes, that's what Argentina is known for, but there's a lot more beneath that. So, we went to Mendoza to explore the wine culture, but also to explore the specialties for the area. And there was one particular specialty called Tomatican that we wanted to have. And we were there. And it was not the season for Tomatican, but we didn't know. And we were only in Mendoza for a couple of days. So we asked around, we went to different restaurants, we asked people, they were like, we went to the local market, and everyone kept pointing us to a place that's a vegetarian restaurant. And they said, go there, maybe they'll have it. Because in every time we looked for it, we would explain why we're there, what we want to do, and that we're only there for a short time. So we go to this local restaurant called Nutriverde. And we walk in, it was a little bit before lunchtime and they hadn't opened. But we asked, will you be having Tomatican today at lunchtime? It's a meal that we want to explore, we want to discover it. You know, we explained the story as to why we were there. The lady said to us, I don't know yet. I'll check with the chef, but why don't you come back when the restaurant opens? And so, fair enough, we actually went on a run, came back about an hour or two later when the restaurant was open. We walked into the restaurant and there was no Tomatican. But so we were like, well, we're hungry anyway, so we'll go ahead and eat. Shortly thereafter, Gladys from the kitchen, one of the cooks, comes out with Tomatican for us. And she made the dish special. Because she knew that we were there to explore this, to explore the food and to taste Tomatican. So Tomatican is a tomato-based soup, or it's a dish with tomatoes and bread, and it's kind of like a soup or stew, but it's not a light soup. It's a thick stew. It's a thick soup. And the fact that she made it for us, we had never met her. She had just heard from her staff when we had asked whether they were serving Tomatican earlier that day. And it is every time I think about Mendoza, I think about Gladys, I think about the fact that she made this dish for two strangers. And we had a chance to interview her after when the restaurant closed and after the meal. And it was just her pride and her pleasure to share what she makes and what she knows and what the region is known for. And for me, that is one of the most precious memories of the selflessness and the caring and the pride that comes with also showcasing one's culture. And that for me is a moment that remains with me. And it's a moment that I'd love people to share. On their travels, and that when that's the kind of connection I love people to have, where they can meet the people, connect with them, understand the dish, and of course, experience new flavors.
Yeah, I love that because it's like the warmth, the hospitality, you can just feel it. And to have that kind of feeling when you're visiting a new country is so priceless.
Yes.
I live in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, where it's super touristy, and there are people that are, generally Mexicans are very warm, friendly, and hospitable, just like Filipinos. But I also acknowledge that there are kind of people who take advantage of tourists. And there's a term that we call resort smile. There's a real smile, a real warm, welcoming smile. And then there's like a resort smile, which is kind of like a fake smile, right? And you just know when someone is so genuine and they really want to share a piece of their culture with you. Like, I'm Filipina. I love cooking Filipino food for my friends, especially if someone says, I've never tried Filipino food. I'm like, oh my God, come to my house. Like, my husband is like, you're doing a potluck again. And like, I just love it when people try Filipino food for the first time, especially in places where there's no Filipino food, like Mexico, like where we live in Mexico. So for me, I have a very very short story for the food that like super memorable to me. But I was very close with my mother, and in the Philippines we have this snack called kaikai, which is it's like it's like a cookie, but it is made of like peanuts and some sort of a biscuit, and it's so it's just like a snack. It's a simple snack, but it is not a snack that you would have every day. So it's almost like also a specialty, a delicacy. So when you visit the Philippines, specifically this place, Cebu, it's very likely that you get to try it, but it's not something that you eat every day. And one day I was in third grade. I went by a store and I saw kai kai, and I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna buy some. I feel like I wanna eat kai kai today. But it was super random. I don't normally eat this food. And when I got home, my mom bought some kai kai, and I was like, hey, mom, like, why did you buy kai kai? And she's like, I don't know. I just thought of it today, so random. And I was just that really like made me feel like, oh my God, we have like a connection that, you know, that only a mother and a daughter could have. And so that was super memorable to me. I love it. It's not like the best snack out there taste-wise, but because of that memory, I just love it. And so it's really amazing how food can it has so many like ways to your heart. What was that saying? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach, but like, no, it's something deeper than that.
The multiple layers to the power
So
of food.
many. Yeah, so many. And there's also food that will give you bad memories. You know, sometimes it will give you bad memories. So don't worry, I'm not gonna make you share that. But with all of your travels, have you experienced a dish that changed your perspective on a culture or a place?
I remember being in Vietnam and in the city of Da Nang in central Vietnam. And we'd gone to explore the food from the north of Vietnam all the way to Saigon in the south. But at this particular time, we were in central Vietnam. And this was on this particular trip, this was the first stop. And you know, Vietnam known for pho soup and you know, a couple of traditional dishes, but we wanted to go a little bit beneath that because the whole idea is, you know, explore and learn what's local. So we were staying with a local Vietnamese family. And we did this a lot before COVID. That was deliberate to be able to understand the culture, the people, how they eat, where they shop, the food culture at home. So this was all ways of exploring really what happens in a local community, in a local country. So they had given us a particular restaurant to go to. And it had been a day that was raining all day. We kept waiting for the sun to lift, the rain to stop and the sun to lift, but it didn't. All day into the night, it was raining. So we're like, okay, we're hungry. We still need to go find this restaurant. So we're walking down the street, and it was difficult to see, not well-marked streets, little alleyways. But we thought we found this place, and it looked like the address that we had been given. So we walk in, small little place, maybe about, I don't know, eight tables maximum. And there were a couple of tables that were taken. So we go to the back. Vietnamese lady comes, very nice, very friendly, hands us the menu, but in Vietnamese, speaks to us in Vietnamese. I don't speak Vietnamese by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. And so she's communicating and asking us what we want, but we cannot really understand the menu. So we ask her, and you know, we kind of have this dance, but we finally understand that we don't know. And so we ask her, what do you think? So she says, I'll bring you know, this and this. And she points to two or three dishes because they're small plates on the menu. So we're like, okay, cool. So a couple of minutes later, she comes out with snails, two different kinds of snails. We're like, okay. This was not what we expected.
Oh my
Completely
God. Were they
random.
alive or?
No, they were cooked. No, they were cooked. Two different types of preparation. And then we look around to the few tables that were still open and people sitting, and they all had snails on their table too. So that's when we realized, we are in a restaurant that specializes in snails. And only then, later on, did we realize that the snail culture in Vietnam is actually very strong. And they come from the river. And so there is a culture of eating snails, but it was not what I expected from Vietnam. Never what I would have expected, but I can tell you, Carla, the snails were delicious. They were cooked with herbs and cilantro and onion and spices. They were the best snails I've ever had, but I was in shock, not expecting that. And I think it gave me a deeper appreciation, really, for what's in a country. And because there is the river that flows through the city, you don't, and of course you eat fish, but that was common, but I hadn't expected the snail. So it gave me, I think, a deeper appreciation first for the local culture, and then for the idea of you eat what you have. So any community that we travel to, that I've traveled to and explored the food, at the end of the day, it comes from what the land, or in this case, the sea produces. And so it was a nice way to re-anchor myself into what's local and how the locals just really eat from the land or eat from the sea. But it gave me, I guess, when I think of Vietnamese food now, I go beyond what's expected, and I know that there are other dishes. And we had snails throughout the rest of the stay after that, even some grilled. And again, very good, very delicious,
I
and
love it.
unbelievable the number of preparation styles.
Actually, we grew up eating snails too. I remember it was mostly soup. And my mom would boil water with safety pins in it because you would use the pin to get the snail out of the shell. And so she would boil water to sanitize the safety pin that we might have used, I don't know, for a school uniform or something. And it was so good. I just remember it being so good. And I think to your point of like, sometimes we have an impression of a particular culture and like their main food, like Mexico, tacos, like Philippines, adobo or lumpia, and then Vietnam, banh mi, pho, like that's it. And then we're limited to that. And to add to that, if the country is an archipelago, they have different islands. I always have to remind myself that each island will have their own thing, depending on their climate, right? And what's growing. And yeah, it's super fascinating. It just helps you appreciate a culture more. And I had the same experience with Mexico when I first moved there. All I thought of Mexico was like tacos, burritos, all of that. But even the tacos alone, I learned that the tacos in Yucatan are different from the tacos in like Mexico City. And there's like 16 or probably 32 kinds of pork tacos. That's just pork tacos. And how there's certain, and basically the concept was each different taco is a different way of marinating meat. And they love their meat. And the time that they spend marinating their meat is the time that the families gather and talk and hang out and because it takes hours and there's a particular meat, I think it's cochinita that takes like 3 days, like originally, like buried underground and all of that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so amazing. It just made me see the culture better than just like what TV thinks of Mexico, which is like a place full of drugs or whatever, these negative things. So
There's something interesting what you've said there about the preparation time. And really, those are times to bond. Those are times when the family comes together. I remember in Argentina, one of the big things is an asado. And that's the whole preparation of meat that the families gather around on Sundays. And it's beyond a barbecue. It's a full experience. But that is a full day affair. So the meat is the food for sure is a central piece. It's what brings everyone together. But it's the connections that are made in the preparation, the time to all of that. And so it's something that is definitely exists in all cultures, the time when the women come together or the men come together or the families come together, that connection and that time together goes beyond the food, but it's an important part of the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think in Spain they have this concept called sobremesa or something like that, which is like the time that you spend after eating to just sit and talk and like enjoy your
Yeah.
dessert or something like that. And so it is, it's so rich, like learning about the food. It's almost like you're being bribed with food to learn about the culture. It's like the
Right.
gateway. It's the gateway. And it's super nice. So I know that you've traveled in so many places, met a lot of different people. In what ways, and of course, in this process, you also have your business, which helps people appreciate food better. In what ways do you see food bringing people together across cultures, even in like, or maybe even especially in business setting?
Yeah, I think food, when you sit down across the table with other people, there is something that just, there are barriers that just melt down. There are masks that people wear for daily living, and especially in a corporate situation where everyone is playing a role. When you're sitting down and you're eating and you're sharing a meal, and there's something about that experience that just melts all of that. And you start to see each other as people. And you start to understand, oh, I'm not having this meal because I don't like this. Ah, are you vegetarian? Are you vegan? Or this is, so when you start to understand people and who they are and how they're shaped, I think that sitting together in a corporate culture, in a business setting, really helps you understand the people that you're with. I have a bias, of course, when you share the food of a place as well. If you're, for example, in a corporate setting and maybe you've taken your team for a team meeting, a team building session, maybe in a different city or even at a different restaurant, or if you can theme it to be around an experience, so it's Vietnamese food. We're going to a Vietnamese restaurant. We're going to a Thai restaurant. We're going somewhere. That experience of bringing you into a new setting and sitting across the table with your colleagues, I think really opens you up in a new way. And I think for entrepreneurs in general, the ability to use food as a way to connect to a place. So I've been traveling around, as you mentioned, for many years into different countries and cities. And I've met many visitors who, unfortunately, in my mind, stay with the traditional foods that they're familiar with. They might keep going back to that sushi restaurant, even if the country's not known for fish, or they'll always go to an Italian restaurant, even if they're somewhere in Asia, in Thailand, as an example, but they want to go have the Italian food. So it's the ability, I believe, for people to really connect to a place. And if you're an entrepreneur traveling, the opportunity to also go deep and to get to know the people and the culture in which you are working, that will happen when you eat their food, when you meet the people. And one of the easiest places to break bread and to connect is on the table when you sit across. So it's Food is a vehicle, not only within your own organization, to better know your colleagues and to better build a better corporate culture, but when you're traveling as well, too, as an entrepreneur, is to connect with the people. I mean, food is everyone's got to eat. And so when you're making your choice, what am I having for my meal? You could make your meal, you could make your choice just a little bit differently.
You're right. I love what you said about how it melts a lot of, some barriers or some things that we want to be perceived or something like that. And I think that's also why a meal is a great first date. Right? It's like a super classic first date. You know how people will often tell you know how, someone's real colors by the way they treat the waiter or something like that, right? So,
Yes.
because our true colors come out when, we're hungry or you're pissed or the food comes slow or like how you can carry a conversation while possibly, eating. Like, I love like squid ink pasta, but I will never eat that on a first date. And then, so it's very, once again, like it's very layered. And I know in, and I love the term breaking bread because it just assumes a very deep relationship of someone, when you're breaking bread with like your partners, your business partners, and you're celebrating with a meal, it just makes it a more of like an investment to making the relationship deeper compared to cocktails or coffee or something like that. So I love that. Have you ever had like a business meeting where it was a totally business meeting, but the food just like was so good and you it made the meeting like much, much better.
I as you mentioned, I used to work in advertising and marketing, and I once took a business trip to Tunisia with my team. I was working in Paris at the time, and our partners, anyway, the group was coming together, and the meeting was in Tunisia. I'd never been to Tunisia before, so I was super excited about visiting a new country. But what I remember the most is, so it was teams from different parts of the world, all convening there. And so we had our business meetings, sessions all day. But I do remember the evening meal. We were there for, I think it was overnight. So we arrived, we had meetings, then we had dinner, and then we left after like the morning meetings. So it was really short. But what I remember very well was the dinner. And it had been set up in a way that it was very traditional. We were sitting in a very like very comfortable, almost low to the ground, thick pillows. I remember they brought some tea to start, and all the meals were like little on your plate, like little tastings of different traditional dishes. So like a mezze spread. Is what I would think of, similar to maybe what you would find small place like in Turkey, if I can try and visualize it. So little some sauces of different colors, breads, meat dishes as well, to different kinds of preparations. And it was a team, a very diverse team. Many were meeting for the first time. But the place where we had it, a local restaurant, and in the setting that was very traditional, that for me was, I think everyone, for many people, not just me, it was their first time in Tunisia. And that was just a fabulous experience to have had, a day of meetings, but you're finally sitting down with people, connecting with them. And at the same time, you have this new experience to share. So a way to also, break bridges again and to build a culture. So you don't have to talk about work, but we can both talk about this new experience and tasting this new dishes. So that's been a memory again, that first time in Tunisia, very short time, but an impactful time. And really the food was the experience that I remember the most.
I love that. I love that. And I definitely had a lot of similar experiences too. Also more of like other people spending for it, but they were it was just it gave me a feeling of like, wow, I feel so valued, and to for someone, especially if you can see their effort, it's not just about the money, right? It's not always like the flashiest dinner, but like the effort, the deep kind of like you can just see that they want you to have a great time, that you're enjoying your food. Even like someone asking me if I have any allergies or preferences, it's so thoughtful that bringing that thought into it brings with it a very positive kind of like a trailer to what the business relationship would be. So in business or for entrepreneurs who want to recreate these experiences, maybe sometimes on a budget. Maybe if they're not very extroverted, do you have some kind of very simple tips that they can remember so that the next time they're hosting like a business dinner, they can basically remember these tips and make the experience a little bit better.
I think for entrepreneurs and generally for anyone wanting to establish a good connection with their customers, I think I would tap into some of the key trends that I see right now in the food space. One of them is around authenticity. And this is the whole idea of people wanting to have a local experience, a real experience, an experience and a connection with the people. So as an entrepreneur, or any business, really, regardless of what you're doing, how can you celebrate what's local into your what's local? So it can be on a budget. So it's not we're not talking about an expensive experience, but you're in a place, and that place, that city, that town has a food tradition. It has a food. It has something that's unique about it. It might be a food. It might be a drink. You mentioned a snack. There is something that's known, that city or place is known for. So how could you use that in your business? And you can, and that allows you to tie it to your community. It shows your connection to the place and to the people. So it could be something as easy as having snacks. Depending on the kind of business that it is, you could have snacks in your office that celebrate that. And while you're doing that, tell the story of why you have it and that it's traditional there. It could be, if it's a drink, I mean, you could have the same experience as well too. So that could be an easy way to really leverage where you are by telling the story. So that would be tip number one around keeping things as authentic and local as possible. Sustainability and reducing food waste and food that comes from local areas and local communities, you know, kilometer zero food. This is also a trend in the food space that's been, it's not a new trend, it's been a, it's happening and has happened for the forever, really. So in your business as an entrepreneur, are there any things that you could do to highlight your sustainability efforts? Is there anything that you could do in terms of reducing waste? Is there anything on, you know, sourcing locally that also allows you to keep things within a very local distance? So those are things that any entrepreneur could consider. But the most important thing I would also say is tell the story as well about what you're doing, because that's the piece. You want to do it, but you want to showcase to give you a competitive edge. You know, health and wellness is another big trend. And this is also around the whole idea of, you know, plant-based cuisine or using food as medicine. This is the idea of, so depending on what kind of business you're in, are there aspects of health or wellness that you could leverage? So I think those are some big key
I
themes
love
or
that.
trends that I see in the food space that one could think about, but tell the story, because that's the piece. That's the piece that's at the end of the day. Whatever you do to leverage your local connection from authenticity to talk about sustainability or to talk about wellness, health and wellness in a way that's that makes sense for your business, you want to tell that story.
I love that. Thank you for sharing me those three themes because those are super easy to remember and they're also very open for like what it means to you and what you can do on a very small basis. Because I love hosting, I'm obsessed with like little details, thoughtful details. I'm also a florist, so that definitely helps. Sometimes I just distract my guests with a great floral arrangement if the food's not so good. Just
That's
kidding.
great.
But I love I just love like the look on their faces and I love everyone to have an experience. But I remember some of my experiences before where I didn't think about it the way that you mentioned it, but I do remember when I would make an effort to serve something gluten-free or serve something that's that healthier, I would tell them, hey, I made this beef and broccoli or orange chicken, but I used ghee instead of seed oils. Like my friends would like appreciate it more, and they would They would make jokes about it sometimes. It's like, but it definitely makes the experience better. And even if you're not doing business, it just makes the experience like richer and more memorable. So thank you for sharing the authenticity, telling a story. So definitely to all of our listeners, don't miss out an opportunity to tell a story. When I was traveling, when from the Philippines and I was traveling to different places around the world, I would always bring bars of this chocolate from my hometown. And this chocolate bar won 4 times in the World Chocolate Awards. And these are single origin chocolates, and they bought the beans from my hometown, my city. And I would bring this chocolate bar that's like as big as my phone. So they're really easy to carry. And they cost like $10 each. It's nothing. And I would give them as gifts, and I would tell the story on how this is a winner of the UK World Chocolate Awards 4 times. And they're like, oh my God, that is insane. And they feel so flattered and honored. But it cost me what, $10 and a good story. So a good story definitely adds to the impact of what you're trying to do. So thank you for sharing that. I love how you simplified it. So
No,
of course, I'm
absolutely.
not gonna let this podcast even cross halfway without people hearing about what you do. So I would love people to know about Authentic Food Quest and how you guys promote immersive cooking vacation. So tell us about Authentic Food Quest and who are the best people to go on this quest.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. So imagine visiting a place and not just visiting the place, but really tasting the place and really tasting the culture and having an experience and memories that you take back home with you, and experiences and memories that live with you way beyond having seen the main sights of a particular place. So with Authentic Food Quest, it really has been a journey. A journey to the immersive cooking vacations. So it started as highlighting different foods from different parts of the world with the goal of showcasing, allowing travelers to have a deep experience when they're there. People might be traveling to a destination for maybe it's a short time. They don't have a lot of time, but when they're there, we want to offer these resources for them to at least go deep in the moment that they have the one meal, the one restaurant, the one experience. And that's what the website has been about, is showcasing those experiences. So over the years, one of the things that we've noticed in our travels is people still stay at a very superficial level. And for me, it pains me that someone would work so hard, schedule time out, get their vacation on the calendar, go somewhere, and then not really immerse themselves and or stay at a superficial level. They haven't gone deep. They go back home. Yes, they saw the sights, but they didn't really the place, they didn't really connect with the place and the people. And that for me is, it pains me personally. And talking to travelers along the journey that I've met, many of them over the years are now seeking to really have a deeper connection. And cooking classes and food tours are some of the experiences that we highlight and recommend, and take as well too, to be able to understand the ingredients of a place, the little hidden gems that you might discover on a food tour. And so talking to travelers over the years, I noticed a frustration of people wanting to really go a little bit deeper. And that gave birth, in a way, to the idea of immersive cooking vacations, which is now coming almost 10 years later into this journey. And the idea with immersive cooking vacations is to bring someone to a place to fully experience the culinary culture. And so in Puglia, Italy, we have one that's coming up in May, end of May. And we're bringing people to learn the Pugliese recipes with a local chef.
Wow.
So there are four cooking classes. But beyond cooking, there are other things as well too that are part of the culture. So there's visiting the wineries, because Puglia also has a rich wine history, and helping people understand the native grapes. There are cheese. Puglia is one of the top regions, is the inventor actually of burrata cheese. We're going to not only visit cheesemaker, we'll make cheese as well too. So there are these olive oil producers. Puglia is one of Italy's top olive oil producing regions. We'll go visit an expert and learn about Pugliese olive oil. So those experiences are built into this 8-day immersive cooking experience. And then there are towns as well, too, nearby towns that influence the food culture. So there is the sea that's close by. We're going to go visit the sea. We'll visit the fish market there, but we'll also see the history and learn about the history of the place. So these immersive cooking vacations are opportunities to bring people to a place, cook with a local chef, stay in a traditional farmhouse. This is where we're going to be, living with locals in a way. And they will taste, experience, touch, and smell that place and leave after 8 days with a real keen understanding of what Puglia is about, what Southern Italy is about, what the culture is about, because we'll be doing the traditional dances as well too, participating in that. So it's a really it's an experience that's really designed to bring you into the place, drop you in, live like a local, and experience the place like a local. So that's what the immersive cooking vacations are. So Puglia is coming up soon. We have one also in Crete, in Greece, and then one in Sicily in September, in southern Italy as well too. So it's a new journey, it's a new venture, and an exciting experience to bring people from having consumed content on the website for so long, but now to actually experience it for themselves.
Oh my God, I love that. So end of May in Puglia, Italy, and
Yes.
end of September in Sicily. You have one in Sicily
Yes.
also, right? So,
Yes.
oh my gosh, you guys, this is such an adventure of a lifetime. This is definitely a bucket list item. So I will definitely sign myself up. Do you guys have a newsletter so that I can stalk where your next travels are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a newsletter. You can sign up on the website at authenticfoodquest.com. You'll be able to drop in your email address. So would love to be, and that's where we're sharing about the cooking vacations, the
I love
dates, the
that.
upcoming.
I love that. Thank you so much. So for people who are curious, I'm going to drop the link to that newsletter so that you guys can just click the link on the show notes and then sign up. Obviously, it costs you nothing to do this and it will give you something to look forward to. I love doing things like that because I love doing bucket list items because guys, life is so short and having an experience like this is truly something to remember. So let me know, Rose, if you guys want to do a food quest in the Philippines, because I would love to be a part of that, even if I'm just there to hold your camera, like hold a camera for you, be your assistant. Oh, I love that. So thank you for sharing.
Absolutely.
Thank you for
Absolutely.
sharing.
Absolutely. Your second part of the question was who is this for?
Who is this for? Who are the people that would make the best food questers.
I think for me, the best food questions are those that are open-minded. It's more of you have to start with a passion, with a love for food. And this is not for, and when I say that, it's not, you don't have to be a chef, you don't have to have any sort of culinary background. It's not about that. It's having a love for food and an excitement about discovering new foods. So that I think is one big piece of this. But a curious nature, a curiosity for life, a curiosity for people, a curiosity to explore. So that is. If you have that mindset, that is the one of the key elements of this. So it's not about age or gender or anything. It's are you curious about life and do you want to get more out of it? So I think for me, the people that make the best food questers are those that embrace they embrace newness, they embrace exploration. So it's not, so that's more the sensibility. That's more because it's coming and living with locals and being open to trying new flavors and trying new things. And once you have that mindset, then you can claim yourself a good food quester to join us.
I love that because like locals are wherever they are, like the local in that place, is always very excited to show you their culture, their food. You know what? The first time you try their food, they're like looking at you like, like holding their breath. And there's a reason for that. They really, really want you to have the same experience that they have when they eat that food, when they gather with their family. They want to recreate it. They basically are rooting for you to have a great experience. All you have to do is bring yourself and your open mind and optimism. To be completely honest, I used to be one of those people who are not adventurous with food. I used to even tell myself or my friends that, you know what? Every time I go to a buffet, I always just go to the same food over and over again. And then it wasn't until I think I moved to Las Vegas, where there was so much food from everywhere and high quality food, that I started to explore other things. Like even the first time I had like Alaskan crab legs or something, I forgot, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. This is not like our crabs in the Philippines, which is like king crabs, the more fatty ones. The Alaskan crab legs were more skinny. I didn't like it at first, but it made me appreciate our crabs more. And then I started to explore other foods. Before, I would not eat something I cannot pronounce if I'm not sure what it is. I never ate at French restaurants, to be honest, because I can't pronounce the food. I was just like, oh, you know what? I'll just have fried chicken. Like, you know, no complications. But I realized that that was not the way to do life, basically. And so I slowly opened up to more and more food, more and more variety, and life has been so much richer. And because I know that my life has been so much richer, this is also something as a business owner that I want to share with my team and my employees, my partners, my growth partners, people I work with. Have you worked with people in maybe in a consulting way, or have you met or maybe hosted a business or a company in one of these food quests? And how was food being used as a way to strengthen who they are as a business or as a team?
I can speak more from my experience,
Yeah.
having been on the corporate side, excuse me, and going on retreats with the team. Then I can also speak about some of the businesses that we partner with that also they anchor their business on facilitating this. So for me, mostly for my corporate careers. In advertising, they've really been about cooking classes. I've taken a cooking class with my team. And that was one of the ways of, again, coming together to, this was in Chicago, and coming together as a team and working, not really working, but collaborating together to make different meals. So we've done that. We've also done things that are non-cooking as well, too. Go-kart rides and, you know, different kinds of activities. So that's something that I have done. Some of the partners that we partner with, there's a great company called The Chef in a Dish, and they provide online cooking classes, and they do it specifically for companies. So they bring a chef from a different part of the world via Zoom, and together you can create that experience. So if you cannot go somewhere, you can still bring a chef from a different country to come and help with your corporate culture and to cook from that perspective. So we have not at this point have not hosted companies yet, but I do know that regardless, because at the end of the day, whether we're an employee or not, we're still a human. And it's that connection with the locals, and connecting through food and the emotions that we feel through food are the ones that really bring us together.
Yeah, I love that. And I think also like it's not just the bond really. It's almost like a version of a team building activity, right? It's like creativity, resourcefulness. So this is open. The Authentic Food Quest, guys, is open for companies out there looking to give a very special incentive for their team to, I know that a lot of companies do incentive trips, so why not make that experience a little richer by going on a food quest? Honestly, I would love to do this also. And it made me think, starting small with my team. What you mentioned about hiring a chef on Zoom and teaching us a dish, and we can all just do this at home, put our phones like in front of us, and we can all cook and share a meal, even though, because my team is scattered in different places in the Philippines and in Latin America. So, but this is definitely something that we can do together. So I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. So, what trends do you currently see in food tourism, and how can businesses tap into this growing market?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned previously, I mean the three key trends are around authenticity and showcasing that. There's also the idea of sustainability and the health and wellness area. So businesses in general, it's about finding their relationship or their own unique spin in either of those, at least some of the key trends that I see that are not going anywhere and have been there. So it's about telling their stories around each of those three themes. Again, authenticity, sustainability, or in the health and wellness area.
Yeah, I love that. And also there is an incentive there to like what you shared before about making good use of what you have, what is close to you, what's growing in, naturally in the area that you're in, that also not just makes the story more personalized, but helps environment with the sustainability feature. So okay, before we end this podcast, but by the way, thank you so much for everything that you shared. I learned a lot of things that as I was writing down my notes, there's just other things that I can think of, and you really broke my mind open in a good way, in a good way. Like I'm already thinking of the next like activity for my team. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Carla.
Yeah, as some kind of parting words, what do you want? What is a myth, or what is something, a commonly held belief that you want to disband about food, eating, breaking bread together as a team, as a family, or even just two people? What is a commonly held belief that you want to challenge? How about that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the thing that I don't necessarily want to challenge, but I want to celebrate, and that is local. And that is your food, your culture, and your traditional dishes. Over the years, there's been a lot of, yes, authenticity is key and it's growing, but there is also, people have gone for maybe more. They've looked away to maybe either other countries, other types of cuisines, and they have forgotten to celebrate what really grows in their backyard, what really grows their own traditional recipes. For example, in Puglia, one of our unique experiences is cooking with a local nonna, an Italian grandma, 80 years old. We're going to make pasta together, and she's going to teach us how to make the pasta. And one of the reasons our chef, this is her grandmother, brought her into the cooking experience, and she said, every Italian mother, grandmother makes pasta, but no one has really shown the world how to make it. So it was her idea to involve her grandmother and to bring her into the cooking experience because she's like, let's show the world there's something that we're doing here that's so unique. Her grandmother has been making pasta, ever since she was a child, so 50, 60 years or so. And she wanted to show that and to teach the techniques and to celebrate the culture because her grandmother makes it with a local grain. She was taught how to make it by her own grandparent, her own mother and grandmother. And so there is history in there. So it's not about so much about challenging, but it's about celebrating what you have. So you don't need to invent yourself in a place and go start doing, I don't know, Japanese cuisine or whatever. It's sometimes what you have at home, you just need to turn the light around and turn it inward and showcase that. And in fact, in Puglia, why we're working with this, our local partner and our local chef, the reason we're so tight and engaged and on the same page is because all they focus on is what's local. They have a farm, and all their products come from their farm. So we are, this is their angle, and this is what we do with Authentic Food Quest, and this is the experience that we're providing is let's just look in, look inward, and celebrate what's inward. And so forget what's out or appreciate it, but really there is turn the light inward. And that's what I'd like to focus on and push
I
for.
love that. I really, really love that. To be honest, that is so practical too. Like, I tend to make the same stuff, make the same food, but then when I would go out and shop, I would buy extras, and these extras just end up at the dark corner in my pantry. never to be seen again. And then it's just like, I love that your advice is super practical. You have distilled food appreciation and how simple it can be, how approachable it can be. I've also recently binge watched Meghan Markle's Netflix series, and she's cooking and she's making these little flower arrangements, and it's so nice. And it's She, I could just see that she's happy when she's like sharing her food with other people. And a lot of the things that she also shared, a lot of the recipes she also shared were super simple. Like, yeah, she is like, I don't know. I guess she's still royal family. But she's still up there in terms of the influence. And I love how she also kind of broke down, and your statements reminded me of her show, and how simple things get. We don't need to overthink thinking. We don't need to overthink cooking and eating and breaking bread.
Exactly. It's a beautiful experience that should be just appreciated and celebrated.
Yeah, I mean, how many stories have we had about just meals that people can't forget, that they tell stories over and over again of these meals. It's crazy. So that's a testament for sure how this experience is so memorable to us. So, Rosemary, thank you so much for Rosemary. Your name is my favorite herb for my gin and tonic. I'm not alcoholic, guys, but I love gin. I love my gin and tonics. What's your favorite cocktail, Rosemary? Now you got to tell me, or I look bad.
Actually, not so much of a cocktail person, but I will. I'm in Italy right now. Prosecco, I'm loving.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Yes,
Yes.
I love Prosecco. We're gonna be serving that on our wedding too. So,
Good.
yeah, thank you so much for gracing my podcast and sharing your experience and all of your wisdom. Let's tell people how they can follow you, how they can get in touch with you, and how they can join your Authentic Food Quest.
Thank you, Carla. This has been a great. Thank you for hosting me here in your podcast as well, too. It's been fun. It's been a fun conversation. People can follow us at authenticfoodquest.com, Authentic Food Quest on Instagram, all the other socials as well, too, Facebook as well. So when you come to Authentic Food Quest, enter your email, and you can also go directly to the Puglia page. On the website and drop in your email. But either way, we'll be sending you information about cooking vacations and welcoming you to experience local and to taste local.
I love that. I love that. And I hope that I wasn't putting you on on the line, but is it possible to host something private with you guys if they want a food quest, like for their team or for their family? That's also possible. Okay.
That is
Okay.
also yes. We're happy to bring in a group.
Mm.
But for the local experience, just in general, we keep these experiences small and intimate.
Right.
So
I think
that's to be able to have a
10 people, right?
deeper 10 people max.
Yeah, 10
So
people max.
depending on the size of your team, we can absolutely accommodate you.
Okay, so get in touch with Rose, and I'll link their Instagram, their website, and definitely sign up for their newsletter and get yourself ready for a bucket list item. This is definitely going to be super memorable. I'm going to genuinely wait for a schedule and a place that I want to go to, so I'll personally sign up for your newsletter as well.
Right. Thank you, Carla. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Rose. And thank you to all of our listeners today. I hope you learned something new. If you like this episode, share it with your foodie friend, and maybe you guys can go on an unforgettable foodie adventure together. So thank you so much, and see you all next Monday for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.